such a thing as simply a blanket amnesty in which everyone is totally forgiven and returned. I think that anyone who wants to come back and go through our judicial process, then I think compassion based on the individual situation. For each individual, compassion, clemency for them, perhaps finding some way of their paying their debt other than jail sentence. This, I think, all of us could look at, because that is in our tradition. Lincoln, for example, gave deserters amnesty at the Civil War time, a provision that they came back and served out their enlistments, and they served without pay. There have been other situations the same, but I think that they broke the law, and I do not believe that we should establish a precedent for just a blanket forgetting of that, particularly when you have so many who are not hesitant at all to declare that they have no regret whatsoever about it. They don't feel they did anything wrong in choosing the laws they would break, and that they simply want the country to recognize them as somehow being in the moral right.
And consistent with your statement about President Nixon not being prosecuted?
No. I think justice is an individual thing in each case. We're talking about punishment fitting the crime. And as I said before, I think in this instance, and it seems the majority of the people feels the same way, I believe that in this instance, the punishment certainly was more than adequate for the crime.
Who's that, Governor?
What?
What punishment are you talking about?
Resignation of the president.
He lost his job. A lot of people lose jobs.
Well, I hardly think that you say this is just losing a job.
In the case of those people left the country, draft dodgers, et cetera, that compassion ought to be considered after they've gone through the judicial process. Don't you think that compassion could be considered for former President Nixon after he had gone through the judicial process?
Well, I think to a certain extent he's been through a process, the process provided by the Constitution. But when I speak about these in the individual situation, yes, you could have a young man that came back who did what he did on a moral conviction, and he now wants to be reinstituted in this country, citizenship, and he is willing to come in and admit that he broke a law, and you could take this into consideration. On the other hand, you may have a man that literally deserted under fire, left his comrades on either side of him while he took off. I think this would be a different situation.
Governor, have you made any effort to contact the citizens that he's been left in California?
I have had a brief telephone conversation with him, which I thought was proper to welcome him back to California. It was a few days ago.
How did he seem? His train
fine. Seemed to be fine, yes.
Any indication to you when he might come out of his self-imposed seclusion?
No, there wasn't any talk of anything like that, or his plans, or anything of the kind. It was just purely a courteous call, courtesy call.
Any plans to visit him?
No, I have no plans at the moment.
You were in the East this last weekend. You dropped a hint that if the Republican Party moves too far away from your philosophy, that you might look with favor on a third-party effort. Do you think that now that is your only chance at the presidency in 1976, and do you see that happening?
No, I didn't do that exactly. A specific question was asked. If it came down to a question of being loyal to a party or loyal to my own philosophy, which would prevail, and I said, obviously, being loyal to my own beliefs, my own philosophy. The tone of my remarks, I think, that led to that question, and the remarks that I gave publicly, my reiteration that this administration, I think, and the government in Washington is bound by a mandate of the people given in the 1972 election. The biggest majority ever given voted, I believe, on the basis of the great philosophical difference that was so clean-cut, that was laid out for us, more so than in any election I can recall. And the people made it very clear the direction they wanted their government to take. And I don't believe that we should forget that mandate, or that we should allow those in government to forget it. And that was what I was speaking of.
Do you have some reason to believe that this new administration is, or has some, you have some indication that they are
say anything of the kind. I just cited the mandate and believed that the American people should be firm in this.
Some conservatives are somewhat upset that that may be happening, pointing toward the president's statement on the draft, the appointment of the nomination of Governor Rockefeller. Do you share that concern? I mean, do you
think there have been other things, and some congressmen I know who are closer to the scene and who I think believe from conversations with people in the White House as to views on upcoming legislation feel that way. My own feeling is that this administration should have all our support. This administration should be given every opportunity to do the job that has to be done. But I see nothing wrong with this reminder that they should have the support of the people also and the knowledge that the people want this mandate carried out. Nothing has changed that.
Governor, are you sympathetic to the position that the California segment of Young Americans for Freedom, in which they said the other day that they would do their best to prevent Rockefeller from being on the ticket in 76?
Well, here again, I think anyone starts talking about 76, you wait and see what the record of the administration is. I seem to be the only person here that's been trying to say that 76, we ought to wait for a long time before anybody decides anything about 1976. Everybody.
You can't at this point endorse supporting Rockefeller ticket in 76. You want to wait and see.
No, I didn't say that. I said that what's going to happen in 76, I think, depends on what the situation is.
I think conservatives are disappointed about the appointment of Nelson Rockefeller for vice president. Do you think that now makes you more of a leading spokesman of the conservative Republican Party?
Well, you'd have to ask those people in the Republican Party how they feel about whether they want a leader or not. I'm speaking my mind, and what I believe is, and has been maintained in the polls, is the basic philosophy of the majority of the American people. Incidentally, let me just add your question here. Make one thing perfectly clear. I would think that all of us would hope and pray that this administration in the next 2 years will be so successful that there'll be no question about 1976. Because if an administration in Washington isn't successful, the load falls on all of us.
In any way, your political aspirations for the future?
No, if you say political aspirations, no, my plans remain what they always were. I intend, starting in January, to speak out on the issues that about which I feel strongly and express my views and to travel the mashed potato circuit, and that remains unchanged.
Invitation after January 76 for the country?
No, we haven't made any plans as yet.
Are you concerned at all about Rockefeller's selection as the vice president?
No, the president selected him and evidently selected him with the belief that he could be helpful to him in his administration. As I said before, I hope that turns out to be correct. No question that Nelson Rockefeller and I at times have differed, but we've got a very cordial and friendly relationship as governor. No, but usually the mashed potato circuit, at very minimum, usually takes care of itself. I've had quite a number of years' experience on that, and they usually provide expenses.
When you said you would think that all of us hope and pray this administration would be so successful there would be no question about 76, are you saying that you hope that President Ford will do a good job, and if he does, you assume he'll be the nominee and that you will support him?
That'd be fine with me.
Governor, unless something happens back in Washington, in 3 days, Mr. Reinecke will step down as lieutenant governor. Have you given any thought yet to a successor?
No, I'm not going to speculate on that, and it is no longer a three-day situation. The judge, as of just a moment ago, and I don't all rush for the telephone, has called and said that he himself feels that a complete review is necessary, and he has postponed until October 1st any decision while he makes that review.
Doesn't that now raise a prolong the situation we've had now for the last couple months, where there's a question every time you go out of the state as to who legally is in charge of the state?
Well, on the other hand, we're talking about a man and his right to the judicial process. And if the judge who presided over the trial and who was to pass sentence as himself now recognize that there may be some question as to whether this man is guilty or not, the place that he is going to take the next 2 months plus a few days to review the entire proceedings of the last trial, and I think that resolves the situation between now and October 1st.
I mean, aren't we still in the question, if the judge's decision is, if the verdict is upheld, even on October 3rd, and Mr. Reinecke is sentenced, then all of any of his actions between the time he was convicted and the time he's finally sentenced and steps down, if that's what happens, are still subject to the same question they have been this last month?
I don't think so. No.
There's no question about this situation. There is no conviction until sentence is passed. The law is clear. And therefore, he remains the lieutenant governor until such time of conviction, at which time there is a court. There's never been any legal question about that.
Yeah, but the attorney general suggested he step down anyway. He said someone could file a suit, and that question, he's not 100% sure, but that could be overthrown to court.
He's 100% sure, but anybody could file a suit anytime they want.
Then why do you suggest that Reinecke step down anyway?
To remove even that possibility. You know, anybody can file a suit.
I think at that time, when it seemed to be only a very few weeks and it looked as if it were cut and dried, that this is the attorney general, I found myself having to say yes, it would be more convenient for the state. But the situation now with the judge himself has expressed his concern about this. I see no problem whatsoever.
There's someone on your staff was in that situation. Someone on your staff has been convicted of a felony by a jury but was awaiting sentencing. What would you do in that case? Would you let him stay on your staff until the sentencing was done?
Well, now you're asking a hypothetical question without being able to go into each individual circumstance, and also there's a far greater difference between someone who has been appointed by me at my pleasure and who can be discontinued at my pleasure and someone who was elected to the people of the state of California to a constitutional office. Now, we've had instances where even without waiting for a trial to be held, but simply because I felt that even the appearance of wrongdoing or the bad judgment could shake the people's confidence, and I have asked them to resign. It would depend on each individual case and what we were talking about. I can't give a blanket answer as to what I would do. I think the record of our administration, the record of what we've done in the one or two minor instances where there might be a problem, is very clear.
Governor, as you say, that you expressed some concern about the lieutenant governor remaining in office before sentencing, and now you say, I see no problem whatsoever. Well, what has come along within that period of a month or 6 weeks to change your mind?
The very fact that with respect to a post-trial motion, which we didn't even know about at the time that the Attorney General made those statements. And as I say, what we both said was it would be simpler for the state, yes, and we were talking about a few days. Now, the post-trial motion has been made. The judge has handed down a decision in one sense that certainly indicates that there is still must be innocence until proven guilty. I think it's an entirely different situation. Just found out by a call this morning.
Did the judge call you or did someone in Washington?
No, the lieutenant governor called me because he knew that I was coming in here to a press conference.
And what did Mr. Reinecke say to you?
What?
What did he say to you?
He just simply relayed to me that his attorneys had this call from the judge, this delay, and I said, is this now public information? And he said, yes.
Is there anything else?
Nope, because I was on my way in here. Yes.
And you expect him to continue?
Yes, when he's not busy on other duties.
You're satisfied then that there is no conflict or no possibility of conflict in Mr. Reinecke remaining in his office and acting as governor during any of your absences for that period of time?
No, the Constitution of California is very clear on that matter. And I also think that if you look back over the record of several years, that record is very clear on that matter.
if that's the case, then why do you set up this special hotline when you've gone out of state lately? And why have you had given us bulletins saying that, well, I'm going to be gone for so many hours, and there'll be a special plane standing by or whatever to get me back in case I have to get here? And
because there were so many who seemed to be so terribly concerned.
You yourself were not concerned.
I was not. And this is what I mean about the record of the past several years. He has filled the duties of Lieutenant Governor, I believe, extremely well. And by comparison, better than some in my memory.
Governor, are you going to continue those precautions if your plans take you out of the state between now and October 1st?
Well, we always have. That's what I was just going to say. This is not. We simply emphasize something that has always been true. And this has been true from the first day I was in office when Bob Finch was Lieutenant Governor. Been true since Lieutenant Governor Reinecke has been. And I imagine that I felt so strongly about this, remembering a situation in Los Angeles when the governor was in Greece. And nothing happened while Watts was burning down. No, I didn't. No, sir. You're not going to get an answer to that one, George.
Bob Finch or Clint Anderson?
Well, neither Bob Finch nor I were holding office when Watts was burning down. We were just straight civilians.
Can we go on to another subject?
Question about the president. Governor, if President Ford decides to become or declares his intention to become a candidate for the nomination, and he seems to have the support of the majority of the Republican Party, can you conceive under any circumstances under which you might become a candidate, regardless of what aspirations you might have?
No, because it has nothing to do with my aspirations. And what you're saying is what I've already stated. What's important, I think, in Washington is what is done, not who does it. And I feel very strongly, as I've said, about the mandate that has been given by the people. And if the majority of the Republican Party felt that mandate was being carried out, I'd probably be one of that majority.
Subject, when you were running for governor 8 years ago, you charged Democratic Governor Brown with, quote, appointing hacks, cronies, and defeated candidates to positions of high responsibility, unquote. How does that jive with your recent appointments of a defeated Republican Assemblyman to the Adult Authority and also one of your former press aides to the Adult Authority, either of whom has any particular experience in correctional systems or law enforcement?
No, and I think that the record of the thousands of appointments that I have made in these several years speaks for itself. This does not mean that everyone who has served in government is automatically precluded from continuing to serve in government. But I think if you will look at the total record, if you will look at the type of individual who was picked for departmental assignment and for cabinet positions over these years, they did not necessarily reflect someone who was being rewarded for their party service. As a matter of fact, we went out, we combed the state of California, we had the help of a citizens committee to find the kind of people who could come in and we thought lift the level of appointments. And I think we've done it. As a matter of fact, my colleagues, Democrat and Republican, made no secret of the fact that they think that California has found the highest level of people willing to serve in government of any state they know, and they've asked us how we did it.
Governor, are you saying
your expertise that either one of these men have for that sensitive board?
Well, you could ask that about almost any appointee. I was confident that they could handle this.
That's the question. What? Certainly, Governor Brown would say the same thing if he were asked in 1956 why he made certain appointments.
I think the answer lies in numbers and proportions. And also, I think you look at the record of performance. And I say in these 8 years, the performance of this administration has been rather outstanding.
Is that an adequate answer for someone, for a prisoner who's coming up for parole, to be told the answer is in numbers? He's wondering about the individuals who are going to be dealing with his fate.
Let's look at the record of in that particular area up until now.
get Marty sprayed with political cronies, hacks, and defeated office holders?
No. No, I haven't. But here and there, there is an individual. For example, when some individual that was personally known to me, and I could judge his performance by service in some other area of government, I had confidence and made the appointment. But
does the committee have a role in these elections?
We have a process that, yes, that involves a great deal of checking throughout the state on every kind of appointment. I don't think there's a time that we just sit up here and make one by ourselves, just as we do with and have a formalized system for the appointment of judges that we follow. You could talk to Ned Hutchison about this and find out the procedure, but it involves a great deal of checking. Now,
I think body of men who sit down and consider the qualifications of your possible appointment.
Well, you could ask Ned for more details about how this is done, and he could tell you. But I can tell you that the screening is very thorough. But now we've made I made appointments to county supervisor positions of two legislators. They seem to have been upheld by the vote of the people in both of those instances. It doesn't rule out that everyone who has served in government or served in the legislature should automatically be canceled out of any consideration. Sometimes you find that there's a great value there that we can continue to give to the people of California.
Governor, can you tell us what qualifications and background Rudy Garcia has for the Authority? What are the qualifications and background for Rudy Garcia's appointment to the Adult Authority Board?
Well, could you tell me what particular qualifications and experience or whatever it might be that anyone should have? You have confidence in a human being's ability to judge.
Is that a politics, and 80% of your appointments have been Republicans over the past 8 years?
After the previous 8 years, there weren't any Democrats left.
Well, haven't you just about exhausted all the Republicans?
Huh?
Haven't you just about exhausted all the Republicans?
The funny thing is, that does not have a consideration. Our system of appointing judges has been to take every individual who wants to nominate himself, who wants to be or is proposed by someone else, and all of those names go through a screening process of a committee consisting of the judiciary, of the local bar, of their fellow citizens, and of the state bar board of governors, 15 of the 16 members of which are Democrats. And when that spreadsheet comes back to me with their ratings, we pick from the top of the list those with the best ratings. And I will challenge anyone here, when it comes to judicial appointments, you go out and check with the legal profession of California from top to bottom, and they will tell you there has never been 8 years of better selection of judges or better quality of judges than has been selected by this administration.
80% of Republicans just went to Democrats.
Yes.
Even though Republicans are like 35% of electoral voters.
That's right.
The Rules Committee may hold up some of your appointments that I'm not passing along.
I have been concerned, yes. I think this is a rather unusual game that's been being played. I was encouraged when they finally passed some of them through. There's a gigantic backlog up there. But and I think this is, again, by action, some individuals trying to change the Constitution.
On Silliman Wood, what has he done as a legislator, not known for his correction legislation, to distinguish himself to become appointed to the Adult Authority? Legislator mostly interested in agriculture.
Yes, but you also know him as a man. You know his abilities. He had experience in local government in his own area. You're talking about a man who's going to sit there and pass judgment on a human being on the basis of the man's conduct and so forth as whether he can be trusted to back out on the street. There was one that had his hand up when that interruption came.
Governor, could I change the subject? It was reported in U.S. News and World Report that You were a top choice for vice president. However, you insisted that President Ford agree to step aside in 1976. The president is reported to have said no deal. Can you comment on that?
You got to be kidding. I haven't read the magazine.
The White House.
Good Lord, no. I have not had a word with President Ford since he was Vice President Ford and sat beside me at lunch at the Republican convention in San Jose. No, there was no such thing. I never felt that I was in consideration. There has never been any such contact made. And this is absolutely invented out of whole cloth, and I'm surprised. You said it was United States News and World Report? I could have thought of some publications that might have. I can't understand them.
No. Governor, is there any reason you haven't talked to, I'm turning that around, is there any reason you haven't talked to President Ford?
Just haven't had anything to say. I guess he hasn't had any reason to call me.